This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You have the canceling of elections in Ukraine. You have political parties being silenced or even criminalized or thrown in prison. You have the freedom of religion, churches being shut down. You have political opposition being silenced. You have total government control of the media. We could go down a whole laundry list of issues that are against the values of democracy and freedom.
That is Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Intelligence. I heard her make that comment with Shannon Bream this Sunday, and it made me wonder, because I'd also heard other reports potentially of churches being shut down in the Ukraine, particularly Christian denominations, and I had questions about that. So excited to have Pastor Michael Schust on with us this morning. He is the leader of the Vertical Fellowship. And he has he's from the Czech Republic originally. He lived here in the greater St. Louis area for a long time. I believe now resides down in Florida, but runs his ministry throughout the world. And we appreciate that. Pastor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on, sir. You know, I read some comments that you had online to somebody who had some concerns about what's going on in Ukraine, and it caught my attention because part of your comment there was you also have witnessed some of the same things that Tulsi Gabbard was pointing out there in that soundbite, that there are things going on in Ukraine, particularly regarding the Christian church there, that people probably need to be aware of.
That is correct. And it seems that reports that are given to the general American public are more consistent just with the propaganda that would like us to believe that, you know, this is sort of a democratic state where things are hunky-dory and the people are excited and happy. That is not the case. And as you know, Mark, we do international missions, and I believe your family members have actually participated with us. And we've been talking to the Ukrainians in Central Europe, particularly in Czech Republic, to the immigrants. And, you know, from the start, there have been kind of two sides of the story, and a number of these people have been sharing with us about the dark side of the story, about why they actually escaped from there. And part of the report was certainly that the church is being persecuted, and the people that are labeled as opposition are by the Azov units and being persecuted by the secret police. And so, yeah, it's I'm glad that this is all coming out now, and hopefully the international community will know more about it. And
Well, Pastor, the excuse for targeting certain Christians, if I understand this correctly, is the belief that somehow they are Orthodox and tied to Russia somehow has been the excuse of why some Christians have been targeted and not others. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, this particular case involves the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, and this is the prevalent denomination in the Ukraine. And these are people that have 30 years ago separated from the Russian Orthodox Church. But even if they didn't, you know, I mean, these are just Christians, they're believers. And right now, what is left of the population, which is basically older people and some elderly believers and their priests, because the young ones, you know, these are the parents of those that were sent to the front lines to die in this terrible war. They are being targeted as pro-Putin or pro-Russian because they originally came administratively from the same denomination, but they separated. In fact, this church has actually denounced Putin, and despite that, they've been labeled as sort of pro-Putin and enemy of the state. And I believe there are all kinds of reports and also videos that exist of these elderly people being beaten, these elderly Christians and their priests being beaten and jailed. So it's something to check out and research.
When you say the churches are also being persecuted, because you just mentioned that some of the Christians are being physically beaten, which is awful, but are they going in and trying to shut these churches down, or what are they specifically doing when they're targeting the churches?
Well, they're doing the same thing that the communists have done in the former Czechoslovakia, where I came from. So now there is, I believe the report said, about 1,600 plus church buildings, many of them are historical churches, hundreds and hundreds of years old, that are being confiscated by this totalitarian Zelensky government. And then they are turned into just either civil buildings or given away or museums.
Yeah. Before we run out of time, just maybe you can give people just a short background, because you said that you lived in Czechoslovakia under communist rule, and you worry that you see parallels.
Correct. This is kind of like one of those deja vus again. You know, I don't know if you've heard the entire comment on the buildings, but there are reportedly over 1,600 buildings, many of them historical buildings, hundreds of years old, confiscated by the Zelensky government, taken away from this Orthodox church and given away, made into museums or just sort of civic centers. And this church seems to be kind of under more like extermination process rather than persecution. It's really serious. And this is what the communists have done in Czechoslovakia. You know, we still have there many of those buildings that were confiscated by the communists during the communist reign and during the era, people accused of being anti-communist or anti-government. And so with these totalitarian regimes, that's how they do it. And they actually are very patient with taking sort of an administrative process, and they put it on the propaganda news. And a few months later, we had to have a hearing, and we have just had to take this action because it's in the interest of national security. So that's what's going on.
Well, it's good to get that insight. And, sir, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that this morning and some of your experiences. Thank you. We will talk again soon. Pastor Michael Schust there from Florida this morning. And, I mean, he has connections all over the world because of his ministry, which is a vertical fellowship. And as he mentioned, he's now down in Florida. So I don't know if that wherever he was played into the connection problems. But it's important. It's a different perspective than a lot of Americans are getting on what's going on in Ukraine, which is why I wanted to have him on to talk about it.
Well, the people who really need to hear this, unfortunately, are the liberals who are just posting all the things on social media saying, "I stand with Ukraine." Him talking about how, you know, it has kind of this deja vu feeling of when it was under communist control when he grew up, Czechoslovakia. I mean, that's scary. And Zelensky is saying his excuse for why there's been no election in how many years is
because of the Constitution or whatever.
Well, I thought he was saying it's because we're at war. We're not going to have a...
It says they didn't have election. They don't have elections during wartime.
Right. And that should not be okay. We would never do that here in the United States.
No, I would agree with that. So I wanted people to hear that to perspective this morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.